This podcast is a part of the Newhoff Media Podcast Network.
Dave Wendt joins us from Forsyth. What's going on in your world?
Good morning, sir. We've got some of that exciting stuff on the last meeting agenda with some water plant approval of work being done there. We got
It's a wonder we don't do this for an hour and a half. Just spend some quality time on water plant.
You know, I think everybody wants to hear about SCADA.
I didn't even know what it is, and I'm not even sure. Was that a setup?
Yeah. No, it's a kind of inside joke, I think, with Darren. He had to explain it to all of us as far as what that abbreviation is. But it's basically the control system and data system for our water treatment plant. And just like anything else, it's software driven, and you get software that's out of date, and you got to spend some money to update that. And sometimes that means you also have to buy computers and everything for better RAM.
Sometimes, look, you guys are staying on top of it. I read somewhere in the last couple of years that there were taxing bodies in San Francisco that were still using floppy disks.
Oh yeah, I think I've said before that government seems to be behind the ball,
always
behind the curve on a lot of that stuff. Darren's doing a good job of keeping us updated on, what things need to be and what we need to be thinking 5 years down the road.
Right.
That's coming up and things like that. But, this is part of the being on an elected council. It's not always exciting stuff. Sometimes it's the behind the scenes stuff that we can spend a lot of money and nobody ever sees it. But we try and be frugal with that. And it's important. If your water's not coming out of the tap, we'll get lots of phone calls.
No doubt.
So, Jill got started. I think her plan was to meet with all staff members as well as each of the trustees and the mayor, just as far as a first order of business getting into the office and getting started. So she and I had that meeting and just kind of talked about my background, why I'm on the board, and a little bit better, get to know her. I think maybe being involved with kids in Murrow Forsyth schools, I felt like I knew her and her husband a little bit better than maybe some of the other trustees do, but I think that's an always important touch base kind of a thing. And what we're talking about doing is doing our next strategic planning session. That'll be like a 5-year view. We did that about 6 years ago. And when David brought it up last year and we were planning for it. And then when he announced that he was going to be leaving, we thought it was important to wait until the new administrator was in to do that strategic planning session as far as where our priorities are, how we've met that previous strategic plan.
How do you do that? I had the same conversation. I'm on the Parks Foundation board and work with Jill, and the Park District was going through a master plan phase, and I met with the consultant, and with the acceleration of COVID and technology and trends and things that are changing, looking, it used to be easy to look 10 years down the road or 5 years down the road because you knew there would be some, but it didn't change overnight the way life seems to be now. How do you even look at the mall and know at any idea what 5 years from now looks like?
Well, I think we have to plan for whatever that ends up looking like. If the mall is changing to something different, if somebody else takes over that, and then our areas outside of the mall, our retail areas, our restaurant areas, Jake has always four things that are irons in the fire that he can't tell us what's happening. And, I always tell him, hey, if I can make an announcement when I come in this once a month, that's always would be cool. But, so work is progressing on the urgent care facility that's going in the old Lebeda building. I really like the facade they've got up on the outside of that.
Saw that the other day.
Sharp.
Yeah.
I know work's been started on the crematorium business there on the corner of Weaver and 51. I know Jake has said, we get questions all the time. What's going to happen with Hometown Buffet? What's going to happen with O'Charlie's? My understanding is there's inquiries and questions that come in on a regular basis from different companies and different entities that are interested in that. But, it's whether or not a deal can get done. And once it gets done and officially announced, we try and respect their ability to make that public announcement themselves.
Sure.
I don't want to be one of those elected officials that lets the cat out of the bag too soon.
Never been a shortage of those at any level of governing bodies. So you guys got a lot of fire or irons in the fire. But I think the mall's the huge question mark. And who knows? Maybe they rebound. I don't know. It's just, retail merchandise has maybe changed forever in some sectors.
My personal opinion, and I'm always, cautious about what the board is officially saying versus my personal opinion. I think the days of the huge box store are somewhat gone.
Yeah.
just because there's so much of an ability. What I see just in my own personal shopping, wherever I go, is it seems like there's less inventory carried, and your stores are your opportunity to see things, touch things, try things on. But then we can order for you and get it to you in a day, in a day or two. And they know what they need to carry, as far as they're smarter than all of us are, as far as what they need to carry that people want right away. But I think that's where I see that going. So is it a bunch of small shops? Is it something different that goes in there? That's part of what our discussion is. But we've also got 5-year plans for road work and sewer work and water treatment plant.
I just know, I mean, it's been such a big portion of the tax base for so long that it's the biggest X factor for you guys moving forward for everyone. I mean, I look at, you know, we took a tour of the Rivian plant up in Bloomington. It's actually, I think, in Normal, but you know, 4 years after Mitsubishi, you know, left, that sat empty. They were almost ready to take it down. I mean, tear it down. Mm-hmm. Governor Rauner said at the time, you know, no one's going to touch that thing. And Rivian now has spent $1.5 billion in Bloomington Normal. And you think, okay, no one saw that, you know, for 10 years.
But somebody had an idea.
And the crazy thing is there's a coffee shop in downtown Bloomington that the tech guy that started Rivian fell in love with. You know, it's kind of college kids. Mm-hmm. And that was a huge factor in him pulling the trigger on building that in Bloomington. In fact, they've moved. There's now a second coffee store inside the lobby of the Rivian plant that replicates the one downtown owned by the same people. I mean, those are the crazy stories in economic development that people just, you know, they don't understand.
You can't plan for that.
No.
That's just a connection that somebody had. And in my opinion, that's why everybody always has to be on their best behavior, their best foot forward.
It's also why quality of life matters.
I mean, exactly.
You know, and you have to do all these things simultaneously. People might say, well, why would you spend money on a sculpture guard? Well, it matters. You know, it doesn't mean you don't do the stuff you've got to do, like the food drive or whatever, but it all matters because you just don't know. I mean, I don't think anybody had high hopes, you know, for that plant. In fact, they were in the process of talking about demolishing.
Mm-hmm.
And now look at it.
They even renamed the road now. It's not Mitsubishi Parkway. It's Rivian Parkway.
Yeah. And they still got to hire like 3,000 more people.
Mm-hmm.
And they're out of people in Bloomington. So now it's about commuting, you know, to go work there.
I've said it before, a 45-minute commute in central Illinois, having done it up in the Chicago suburbs early on in my career, 45-minute commute is a lot easier down here than it is up there.
No doubt about it. And I think even the EDC folks, and I think there's more of this between even Forsyth and Decatur, is that like a win for Champaign is a win for us. A win for Decatur is a win for Springfield. You know, the regional approach to this, because the housing market is, they can't build enough homes in Bloomington Normal. I mean, they just can't. You look at Brinkotter right now, our home listings are way, way, way down. Now it's a matter of, can Caterpillar find people to drive here and work here, buy gas on the way home, maybe eat in a restaurant? I mean, it's a whole different ballgame. So it's looking at things from a regional approach rather than city lines.
Exactly. I mean, I was excited to see the new warehouse going up over there.
Urbana family spending money here.
You know, obviously, there's something that they found more valuable over here than Urbana, whether it's the intermodal facility or just, you know, whatever it was. That's the kind of thing that we need to make sure that connection is there. You know, and that's why I'm glad we partner with the EDC, even with the DACVB, because again, those quality of life things that you talk about, you know, having those sporting events, having the concerts down at the Devon, having activities going on is part of what I would hope somebody's looking at as for, hey, my employees are going to be happy if I locate my business here.
Absolutely. It matters. It absolutely matters.
Mm-hmm.
And I know there's a lot of things that you have to get on the radar screen to begin with, but often that time comes down to a community visit when people are like eyeballs on the ground looking at a community.
Well, and I think that ties into one of the things that we were directing staff on that I had in my update as far as the Safe Routes to School grant, that if you improve that ability to get to and from your schools, it's not just the roads, but if people want to walk to school or walk their kids to school or ride their bikes to school, you know, we've got two schools in Forsyth, the Forsyth Grade School that's out there on County Highway 20, and then Decatur Christian, which is the old Forsyth Grade School. So that's one of the things we were looking at, is how do we tie that together with the pocket park and the library that's there, where we know that there's still that activity of taking kids to the library for an activity during the school day that's being done. And so if we can improve that access, then that's another
Absolutely.
Small thing.
It all adds up.
Yeah.
And that's what it's sometimes, I think, hard for people who are critical of boards or commissions or councils, you know, that haven't really served. They don't realize, I mean, just how complex it is. I mean, it's not just about solving a single problem. It's a lot of things, a lot of plates in the air all the time.
Well, and that's why, you know, for the city
of
Decatur.
And a lot of it's not real sexy.
Well, yeah. And the city of Decatur, Village of Forsyth, when you've got staff and, you know, village administrator who's doing a good job and keeping all those plates spinning or all those balls juggled in the air, you know, it makes it a little bit easier for us as a board to make those decisions because they're bringing information to us that allows us to make good decisions when we take those votes on the things that we have to vote on.
And then a little bit, I saw somebody. I was watching Bill Maher, going back and watching. I don't watch it like on Friday nights, but I go back to the HBO Max app and watch it in there. And George Will was one of the guests there, the columnist, who never ages, by the way. He's looked the same age for like 25 years.
Did he go to the same doctor as Dick Clark?
No, I don't know if people that look older, younger, are end up getting the better end of that later in life, you know, because they don't. But anyway, you know, he stressed the importance of that we don't. You know, people will say we live in a democracy. We live in a, you know, we are, our form of government is a republic.
Exactly.
And it's representative democracy, meaning that if you're in Forsyth and I vote for you or Jim Peck or whatever, I'm voting for you to make decisions.
Right.
And then if I don't like the decisions you've made when your term is up, it is now my turn to decide whether to vote for you again or not. You know, that is the way it works. And for so often, we seem like we've got these demands of living life through kind of referendum, like, you know, that it's like, oh, no, I'm going to tell you what decision to make. And that's not the country we live in.
Well, and sometimes that vocal minority doesn't represent what either the best interests or financially what you can do as a village or a community. And, you know, it doesn't represent what I'm hearing and other board members are hearing more quietly from people that we talk to. I've got a lot of people that I talk to. I try and have a variety of people that I talk to about different issues if I need input, the most important being my wife. But you're exactly right. You know, if I've looked at it from the beginning, whatever I do, there's probably going to be up to 50% of the people that aren't happy with the decision and 50% of the people that love the decision. So I have to go what I think is best for the community, and that's what I was elected for. And, you know, exactly as you said, if people aren't happy with something, then, you know, you get to change when the next election comes around.
Yeah, but, you know, single issue voters to me, you know, are not serious contributors to the democracy. I mean, they just, you know, I'm really upset about this one thing, so I will forget the 99 other things that I'm good with.
Well, and I have sort of a logical approach where I try and keep an open mind. I may have my own ideas of what I want on something, but I've confused people before where they're not sure which side of an issue I'm on because I'm trying to gather all the information to make sure I have an educated decision. And you can't always anticipate everything, but you make the best decision you have with the information you have right now. And I'll also be the first one to say later on that, nope, we made a mistake. We need to change something.
There you go.
So
that's all you can ask of leadership. Dave, we appreciate it. Have a great week.
Thank you. You too.
You've been listening to the Newhoff Media Podcast Network. For more, visit newhoffmedia.com.